Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world. Ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit. Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world. Ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. And with the Lord's help, we'll conclude this message I've been sharing on the heart of a worshiper. And I'd like to revisit one of the important aspects of worship. There's a cleansing power in worshiping God. The God, He inhabits the praises of His people, whether you're in a church congregation or whether you're just home alone or anywhere worshiping God. The last words of Jesus were, "Your sins are forgiven," to this woman who was washing His feet with and crying and anointing His feet with oil. So we must not allow sin or guilt or condemnation to prevent us from worshiping God, that intimate fellowship that comes when we begin to praise God. God never holds us at arm's length when we sin. He convicts, but He doesn't condemn. Conviction of the Holy Spirit will lead us to repentance, but if we self-condemn, so often we blow it and we are in despair because we feel, well, God, I've done this so many times, God's not going to forgive me. That's condemnation. And condemnation is nothing but defeat. Conviction, beloved, however, will motivate us toward God. Condemnation leaves us deflated and powerless. God convicts, people condemn, right? Guilt and condemnation are a great hindrance to our worship. So we need to repent before the Lord and receive His cleansing, and then we can come into worship. Don't come to God unless you've first been purified. That's what this woman was doing. She worshiped the Lord. She was standing behind Him as He reclined, and she expressed that repentance and that worship in such a beautiful and extravagant manner that Jesus declared her sins forgiven. Jesus never says, wait a minute, there's sin in your life. Don't try to get close to me and then love me in that condition. No. On the contrary, He says, come close to me. Lean upon my breast. Let us commune together, and I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You will be purified as you worship me. What a beautiful expression of God's heart. He never turns us away. If we want Him, if we come to Him, if we repent and we're sorry for our sins, we're sorry for our failures, the promises we've broken to Him. God hates sin. His character does not change. No sin, beloved, can survive in God's presence. There's no sin in heaven. We can be assured of that. And so when we acknowledge our sins and we desire to receive God's strength to gain victory over it, it's the first step toward the solution. Too often we let condemnation drive us from the very source of healing and forgiveness. And that's the Spirit of the Lord, that's being with Jesus. In fact, I just want to take a moment to pray for some of you going through that. Father, You see our weaknesses. The Spirit is willing. You told Your disciples that night in Gethsemane, but the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so, Father, You know the weakness of our flesh. That's why Your mercy is so everlasting. You're so great. You understand the weaknesses that we battle. For some, it may be one area. For others, it's another. we all have challenges, Lord. You see how weak we are in our character, in our person, and we get deceived by the enemy. We fall into temptation. But Lord, you want to restore us. And Lord, you see those right now that are struggling with condemnation, that the enemy keeps bringing up what they've done. And they've tried to repent. They've said, Lord, I do repent. But in their heart, they don't feel forgiven. And that there's a spirit of condemnation blocking that peace and joy that comes for an assurance and knowledge that Jesus indeed will forgive us. If we confess our sins, John says, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, either you believe Scripture or you don't. There's no room for condemnation. There's conviction. If you're feeling convicted, then it's time to repent. And Lord, there are those that do need to repent of something right now. And Father, we turn from our wicked ways. We are called by your name, Lord, and we're asking that you would heal us, that you would forgive our sin, that you would just bring us and it cause us to move forward in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Lead us in those paths, Lord. Minister to those who have felt so disabled, so unable to function spiritually because of these bondages, these blockages, these sins in their lives. Father, give them the courage to know you are going to strike them. You're going to give them victory as long as you hold and they hold onto your hand. Lord, you never let us go. But Father, sometimes we can walk away. We can let loose of that fellowship, that holding of the hand that you extend to us. And so, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I'm asking you to just release everyone from condemnation, those that have been suffering from it, those that feel unworthy to come into the presence of the Lord. The Lord's arms are open to you, beloved. So hear the Spirit of the Lord and come to him and let him cleanse all your sin. Let him heal all your hurts. I feel such a presence of the Lord. He's doing this right now as he's pouring that balm of Gilead into your soul, that you can know that his love for you is assured. He'll never let you go, beloved. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your presence. I thank you for the anointing I feel that's just going out, touching the lives of so many right now. Bless you, Lord. Forgive us for unbelief. Forgive us for the doubts we've had. And Lord, let your faith rise in our hearts. You've given us that gift of faith. Not one of the gifts of the Spirit, but the very faith that we have to approach you. You gave us that faith when we confessed Jesus the first time as our Savior. Lord, I thank you for this work that's being done right now. Hallelujah. Well, I'd like to close with talking about the river of life. In worship, we partake of the very river that flows from the throne of God. That's in heaven, but we are experiencing it in the Spirit when we really worship God. Psalm 46. Let me read a few verses of that. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Verse 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Praise God. So as we worship God in the Spirit, we're actually partaking of that river that flows from the throne of God. The psalmist wrote of that in the psalm that I just shared. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God. And this is an allusion to the water of Siloam, where several different courses ran underneath and through the city of Jerusalem. It supplied the city with water. It was quite a construction project. I think it was done in the time of Hezekiah. That was in the natural. It provided water to the inhabitants. But the Holy Spirit provides us with those renewing waters from the throne of God. And you can feel it. I remember once I started worshiping God in a service. Brother Glass was preaching in San Jose. And I didn't want to stand up. I was just way too tired. It would have been a hard day. But as I stood up, I said, you know, at least I can stand and lift my hands to you, Lord. And when I did that, I in obedience to what God was telling me to do, I experienced that refreshing. I experienced a newness of life, of lifting up from the battles that I've been going through. So through our worship, the river of God washes over our souls with cleansing and refreshment. When Ezekiel was caught up in the spirit, he saw that divine river, a river that couldn't be crossed over, a river that had waters to swim in. During this experience, he was told, "And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will live." Now, of course, this does refer to a time in the millennium when there will be the literal waters of life flowing. The Dead Sea will have life again. Hallelujah. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. We're talking about even physical renewal. It will be the utopia, the paradise that we've always longed for. God will restore that in the millennium. And even though mankind has experienced the absolute perfection of abundance, of a veritable Eden, some will still choose to heed the deception of the Satan at the end. And then Satan will be sent to the lake of fire, and God will create a new heaven and a new earth. So, beloved, whether here or now, but let's receive it now. As the river of God begins to flow, there will be abundance, there will be healing, there will be forgiveness, there will be restoration. Not only the divine benefits, but the very attributes of God become the fiber and being of the heart of a true worshiper. Praise God. So as you begin to praise God, you're going to find the battles. Somehow God's going to make a way. You're going to have a different attitude to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. And that's who the Father desires. Remember, John said that to the woman at the well, "The Father seeketh those who will worship in spirit and in truth." So we can enjoy His heavenly blessings now, as in our own way that God enables us, we're able to praise Him from our innermost being, and rivers of living water will flow out thereof. Praise God. Well, it's been a joy and a privilege to minister on this subject. I hope you've been blessed. If you have needs, I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. And should you choose the convenience of email, I do ask if you choose to share your physical address so I can respond by a personal letter to you. However, I will pray and confirm receipt of the email. Until next time, this is Sister Glass. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,